Hej, Ulf Kristersson här. Snart är det val i Sverige och även för dig som bor utomlands spelar valet roll. Vi moderater har sänkt sinkskatten för utlandssvenskar och vill göra det enklare att flytta hem. Använd din röst, för vi behöver fortsätta framåt mot ett Sverige som du kan vara stolt över.
Detta är ett politiskt reklammeddelande från Moderaterna angående riksdagsvalet. Mer information på bauermedia.se/politik.
Where are you at? Are you like in the US or Europe?
I'm in the US, yeah, in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, awesome.
Where I reside since, I don't know, since about the late 90s, mid-90s, I think. So a long time. I've been here longer than anybody else. All these rock guys lately moved to Nashville and... You know, and I'm thinking like, hey man, I knew this all along.
I was here first.
Pretty much.
But let's start with that you've kept like Accept relevant for decades, now celebrating half a century, which is crazy to say, and toured all over the world, a world that's changed a lot during the years since you were a teenager, of course. Both the music scene and music creation overall. What's the key points, according to you, for the band's longevity, so to speak?
Well, I think it's the fans. I mean, we wouldn't be doing this if the demand had sort of gone away. There was a time in my life when I thought heavy metal was dead and it was over, like in the 90s. I thought we had a fabulous time in the 80s, and then, you know, the grunge came around and all that. So everything changed drastically, really fast in the 90s. And that's when I thought, well, maybe it's time to give it up. But then it all came back, crazy enough. And now it's stronger than ever now, which, again, it's because the demand is still there. If you see the festivals in Europe, it's still headlined by a lot of these classic bands that have been around forever and ever.
Yeah.
So the demand is clearly still there. That's fantastic. And of course, you got to have the drive and the hunger. You know, you got to give it. You got to be in it. You know, with all you got, or else I think that's the only way I know how to do it.
Yeah. Speaking of the 90s, do you remember like how you guys talked within the band or with other musicians with the whole grunge scene coming over? And
well, I do. We all realized that nobody really was interested in heavy metal anymore, or in the traditional sense of heavy metal. You know, as you know, the 80s was a time of MTV and big hair and pretty boy images, which was super important, you know. And we never really felt at home in that scene. And then the 90s came around, because I always felt we were closer connected to, I don't know, the European side of things, and maybe more like Judas Priest and AC/DC and Deep Purple. Those were our inspirations, you know. But then the world was dominated by Whitesnake videos and Bon Jovi, and that was all quite different from what we were about, you know. So we never really felt at home in that glamour scene, if you know what I mean, even though we tried a little bit to fit in, you know, with certain photo sessions, and even with that album Eat the Heat, we tried to go that route a little bit, but it never really felt like this is us, you know. And when the 90s happened, it was all like, well, now what, you know? Now it's all about, all of a sudden the sound had changed, all of a sudden the pictures and the images had changed completely. Everybody's wearing flannel shirts, you know, and there was no more guitar solos in the songs. And it was all, everything we knew had kind of vanished all of a sudden. So we were all a bit lost. And I think the same is true for a lot of other bands, you know, that I know of. They either took a long hiatus or they tried to adapt a little bit, but eventually everybody, including us, we realized this is not working for us. So if we do this, we got to do it our way, what feels right to us, what's authentic. And whether it fails or wins, it doesn't matter, as long as it comes from the heart, and as long as it is, you know, done with conviction, then it feels right.
Yeah. And you mentioned a couple of bands, and the inductees in this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were announced recently. Among others, Billy Idol and Iron Maiden is inducted this year.
Oh, cool.
What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I've never really been much of a Billy Idol or had much connection with them, but we definitely toured a lot with Iron Maiden. So they're a fantastic band that have all my respect in every way. You know, I've always admired their longstanding career, and they've really, and we toured a lot with Iron Maiden back in the 80s. So we're still somewhat friends. Every time I run into them, I say hi, and it's, you know.
That's nice. What, according to you, defines a strong and epic guitar riff?
Simplicity, mostly, I think. It needs to be catchy, recognizable, and really grab you right away. You know, a good riff or a good melody is something that you hear once and you lock in right away. It doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be heard 20 times until you remember it. Ideally, you hear it once and it's like, oh yeah, there it is. You know, you can latch on to it.
Pretty much like a song we play a lot here, Balls to the Wall.
Yeah, that's definitely a classic riff for sure.
Yeah, and you hear it straight away. If you bring us back then, 40 decades plus, how was that song created?
Man, that was one of those songs that sort of fell in place super quick and super easy. I remember I had that phrase, balls to the wall, in front of me, and that's how it all started. So I was trying to sing the phrase, balls to the wall, and come up with something guitar riff-wise that matches it. And I don't know, it took just a few minutes, and I brought that very first demo or that very first cassette to the guys, and we finished that song within like literally 20 minutes. It was done. There wasn't a loss. A lot of times we revisit songs. We aren't quite happy with the second part or the first. You know, there's always something that we feel needs improving. So a lot of times we go back to over these songs over and over and over until they feel right. But Balls to the Wall fell in place like that.
Wow.
And that's only because, you know, at some point I remember thinking like, are we fooling ourselves? Is this a song that already exists maybe? Because sometimes you have ideas and you think, oh, this is way cool. And you sit there and you realize, oh, damn, that's somebody else's song, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, during those days, it was much harder also. I mean, nowadays, they just pick up your phone and record whatever you're thinking, kind of. But you had to remember it, right? Because you could, or how did you like?
Oh, yeah. And we actually had to, you know, there was no editing back in those days. Oh. So anytime we wanted to, you know, we always made demos in our rehearsal studio. We always had tape machines and four-track tape recorders or, you know, technology evolved over the years. But we always had a way to record ourselves, even in those early days. And then we would play, the whole band would play it and sing it. And then sometimes we would do overdubs and backing vocals. And then we discovered, well, that one part needs to really be extended or shortened. Okay, let's do it all again and do it over and over and over again. So we played these songs a gazillion times until we actually even entered the studio. You know, nowadays we sit there on the laptop on the computer and we edit stuff all the time until the song feels right, you know. But in those days, you couldn't do that. So anytime you made a small change, you had to play it all again.
What does heavy metal mean to you?
It's the music I love. It's the music that drives my life, basically, you know. And I have to tell you a little secret. I'm not much of a metal consumer. Like when I'm at home or when I'm in my car, I hardly ever listen to heavy metal.
Classic
I like
music?
Making. Yeah, I do, but classical music or whatever, sometimes pop or like, I don't know, Cuban techno, you name it. I listen to all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Whatever the mood is, whatever my mood dictates. Sometimes when I'm sitting here alone, I just listen to a bit of Mozart and stuff. When I'm cleaning the house, I sometimes go more for like a, you know, kind of vibe, whatever. I'm not that much of a metal consumer or connoisseur. I don't have all everybody's records. I don't listen to all the, I just like make and accept music, and that's enough for me. I don't really listen to what else is out there, unless it's something that really brings me back to maybe the 70s or so. I do that quite a bit where, you know, I put on some old, you know, Status Quo or Deep Purple or Uriah Heep or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Or I rediscovered Wishbone Ash the other day. Remember Wishbone Ash?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen to Wishbone Ash as a teenager, I think, quite a bit.
Yeah, that's always nice when you go back and listen to something that you didn't listen to until you were young, kind of, and you get this like reminiscence and get a bit nostalgic.
And sometimes you find out it's really not as good as I thought it was. And some other times it's just the opposite. You think like, oh my God, I've forgotten how amazing this was, you know.
Yeah.
It's when you haven't listened to something in decades, it, you know, it can cloud your judgment quite a bit.
Oh. Do you listen to any Swedish music artists?
ABBA.
ABBA, of course, yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm actually, our other guitar player, Phil, he's a huge ABBA fan, you know.
Yeah.
I can always tolerate a good ABBA song, though.
Speaking of new songs, you have a new album coming out, 50th anniversary record.
Yes, we do.
And it's like Accept Classics with the different and several epic musicians also in the album, right?
That is correct. What we did, we re-recorded, I think, 19 of our best songs, going through all the early albums, all through the 80s, and really hooked up with a lot of A-list musicians. And I don't know that I want to drop all these names quite yet. I think it's a little early. You have to wait. But man, there's some huge surprises on this album. So it's basically Accept and Friends. So we reinterpreted these songs and invited all kinds of famous guest musicians to be part of it. And it totally surprised me how many people said yes to this. You know, practically everybody that we contacted said, oh yeah, of course I want to be part of this. So it's going to be quite a treat when it comes out.
Yeah. And because I have the ear to the Swedish musicians, I know there's some Swedes in the album as well.
There is. Yeah. There is.
I don't know if you want to say them, but
I don't know if I'm allowed yet. I might get, you know, get in trouble if I say it too early. But I think we're going to wait for the big press release, which is coming any day now.
But it's kind of like a reimagined album with the best musicians.
It is. Yeah. And it's amazing how timeless these songs are and how refreshing it is to hear those songs with other singers and other drummers. I mean, we didn't only invite singers, we invited solo guitar players, we invited bass players, drummers, the whole lineup. Every song has a different lineup, basically. I mean, there's always going to be Mark and I on there, but then we've got, you know, other musicians as well.
Yeah.
On every song. So it was a huge undertaking to just, you know, logistically to do all that with all that many musicians. It's huge.
But did they send like their part or did you actually meet up?
They all sang their part and sent them in because logistically it was just not possible. In some occasions we actually met with them, but most of the time everybody was recording remote and contacted us because that's the way to do it nowadays. It's the easiest way. Everybody could be in their studio or go to a local rental studio and then they send us the tapes and we edited it all together and it turned out magnificent, really did.
Yeah. And do you know when it's coming out?
September something.
September something.
I think we're going to drop some singles in a few weeks. The first single is going to come out then. But again, I'm not authorized to let all that out of the bag quite yet.
But
they won't let me, you know, they won't let me.
But what we can speak about is you coming to Sweden again, playing May 3rd in Gothenburg at Filmstudion and May 6th in Stockholm at Circus. Played here many times, of course. Any show that you remember that was extra special or like a memory when you visited Sweden to do a concert?
Yes. The first time we ever came to Sweden is a show that I'll never never forget. It was at the Ice Hall or Ice Stadium. I think it was Stockholm. Yeah, in Stockholm Ice Stadium. And we had been just playing in Europe and we came in those days, everybody traveled with their own small truck and we had our own PA system and all that kind of stuff. But I remember coming into this Ice Stadium and we had way too little equipment. We were not prepared to come into this huge arena. And there was, I don't know how many thousands of people were there, but it was probably the biggest venue we've at that point we've ever done in our lives. And it was a fantastic show. But I was kind of freaking out a little bit because we had only played smaller venues all over Europe. And then we came to Stockholm and it was like, oh my God, what are we? This is us, really? You know, I remember that. And we thought, oh, we should have brought more lights. And it all looked a little sparse from what I remember. So we were all like freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was a fantastic show, nevertheless.
Yeah. And now when you come, you're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary. It's going to be a show. Like, what can Swedes that buy a ticket for these shows be prepared for?
You can be prepared for special guests. You can be prepared for special songs. We're going to play songs we've never played in some instances and songs we have not played in 30 years. So we're going to dig out a bunch of the old stuff. And just it's all inspired by this album now because we rediscovered a bunch of our older songs and thinking like, wow, that's going to be incredible for the fans to hear that kind of stuff. So it's not going to be your normal accept show at all. It's going to be quite different. And we're also going to come with a huge production and a new stage set. And I think it's going to be quite mind-blowing.
Awesome.
So you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss it. If you're an accept fan, that's the show to go to.
Yeah,
I tell you.
And I mean, when you do these kind of anniversaries, I guess you kind of get a bit like nostalgic because you kind of open a box through all the times and what you've done, your career and stuff. How is it to dive back like that?
It's fun, man. It's fun, and especially when you hear them in a new sound and a new in. I don't know how to say it. It's almost like you rediscover the song and it comes to life again in a different way. It's funny, man, because you know it's so tied to the original sound, but then if the sound changes but the composition stays the same, it takes on a whole another life of its own. It's hard to say. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I get it.
It's almost like you have the same picture in different colors or something. It's just like, you know, I don't know, but it certainly surprised me how well it worked, you know.
But does it kind of flow over you like, wow, I've done all this?
Like,
get proud and happy for everything you've done, kind of?
A little bit, of course. I can't deny that, especially when I get, you know, all these other guys wanting to be part of it and people telling me that our little band was a huge influence on bands that are much, much bigger than we are. I mean, that makes me super proud, of course, you know.
Yeah.
If somebody that I admire says they were influenced by me or by Accept, that is the highest compliment. That's worth a lot. But other than that, I'm not somebody who's sort of super nostalgic, and I don't sit here, you know, looking through old pictures and thinking I'm a legend or any of that. I'm way too wrapped up in what's going on today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
I've never really enjoyed going back into my like past life so much. You know, there's people who know all these details about Accept and you played there and then and you did this and you blah blah. And then I'm very often thinking, really? I was there? I must have been there because, you know, every show Accept show I was there. But it's not part of something that concerns me much every day, or, you know.
Yeah. What do you enjoy doing when you're not doing something like a music project or anything, touring and stuff like that?
Life stuff, man. Life takes on a life of its own, you know. I get up in the morning, I try to do exercises, I try to do my stretches and a bit of, you know, weights or yoga or whatever it might be, and then a little bit of meditation. Then I open my laptop and then I do answering emails, you know, just, and then before you know it, sometimes the day is just over. Then I got to run to the store, do something, and then I think like, well, shit, really, I wanted to play music today, but I haven't even gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
So for me, When I know it's time to write a new album, and that time is coming up. I mean, we've just done this album, but it's also time to think about a new studio album.
Oh.
Really have to force myself in a way to not look at my emails or not answer the phone so much, or else I'll never get there. It's weird. I don't know if you have the same thing, but I don't know. Life takes on a life of its own, and I wish I could. So long story short, I have to lock myself away for weeks on end and then I get stuff done.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just dragging on and nothing ever happens.
Oh, I get it.
So it takes a certain amount of discipline. You know, I've heard about book authors or writers. They have a, you know, sometimes they have a, I don't know, a little cabin in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's where they go and they're not to be disturbed and, until they come back out. And that's kind of the same for me, you know.
Yeah.
I have to go to my man cave and lock the doors or else I don't get anything done.
Web bands used to do that as well, and probably some do still, I think. Like rent a cabin in another country and they just be there until they're done, pretty much. But it's expensive.
Yeah. It is, and it, you know, if you know, when it's time to do another studio album, we might just do that. I know. Because we've done the last few albums at my studio where a lot of the stuff, you know, like vocals and guitars gets all done in my studio. But maybe next time we go somewhere else and just rent a house or rent a place and do it somewhere else just for a change of scenery.
Yeah, I get it. Let's end with three fast ones, Wolf. Three fast questions.
Fast songs.
You're gonna answer fast.
Oh, okay. I can't answer fast.
Well, as fast as you can. Fast as a shark. Guitar solo or guitar intro?
Guitar solo.
Why?
Because I enjoy playing guitar solos.
Kool-Aid or holy water?
Kool-Aid. I don't know. What kind of question is that? Kool-Aid or holy water? It's from one of our songs, of course.
Yeah,
you don't want to drink the Kool-Aid. So actually, I should go with holy water.
All right. And all of a sudden, all your guitars are gone. You need to borrow one from another world-famous guitarist. Who do you call and why?
Kirk Hammett.
All right.
Because he's got a guitar that I sold him. So
so it's yours.
Not anymore, but...
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing you back here in Sweden, Wolf. And I'll definitely go to the show in Stockholm, and I hope seeing you there.
Man, can't say thanks enough to the Swedish fans because we have such a long history with Sweden, and I can't wait to be back there. I think it's going to be fantastic. So, especially this time around when it's a special show. So, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's sure going to be special. Thank you very much for your time, Wolf, and have a nice
day. Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hej, Ulf Kristersson här. Snart är det val i Sverige och även för dig som bor utomlands spelar valet roll. Vi moderater har sänkt sinkskatten för utlandssvenskar och vill göra det enklare att flytta hem. Använd din röst, för vi behöver fortsätta framåt mot ett Sverige som du kan vara stolt över.
Detta är ett politiskt reklammeddelande från Moderaterna angående riksdagsvalet. Mer information på bauermedia.se/politik.